It's my great pleasure to welcome to Many Rivers Books and Tea, for the first time, author Allison Holly. She is, of course, the author of this book I hold in my hand, The Era of the True Creator, A Guide to Ascending Beyond Dramatic Paradigms and Into Pure Form Consciousness. She lives up in Washington State. We were just discussing her travels through the smoke that regrettably has been occluding the view of the sky throughout the West Coast. But here she is to help us with the light in Sebastopol. So please join me in welcoming Allison Holly.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass out a copy of my book for this talk so that you guys have it with you, because we're going to do a couple exercises with it. Thank you. All right. So one thing I like to do at the beginning of every time I gather with people is I like to do a brief meditation where we can all move into the heart so that we can communicate better. So we'll just kind of pause for a moment. Hi guys, welcome. Feel free to grab a copy of the book. We'll be doing exercises and we're just doing a brief meditation before we get started. Thank you, guys. Hello, welcome. All right. So my name is Allison Holly. I'm really happy to be here with you guys. I'm going to talk a little bit about this book that I wrote called The Era of the True Creator. And first, I'd like to share how this book came about and a little bit about my process with awakening. So in 2012, I had a spiritual awakening, which I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that. And what occurred was I went through a breakup, and because of the emotional turmoil that came from that, it just kind of bursted open my crown chakra. And I started having visions, and I started spontaneously channeling. And both times that I spontaneously channeled, I had just had some coffee, so it amped up my energy, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and then information just started coming through. And both times I called my mom and said, this is coming through. And so that was the beginning of my process. A lot shifted in my life at that time, and over the period of about 6 months, it really, really opened up for me. After that period of time, I started practicing conscious channeling, where I would go into a meditative space and then listen really, really hard. And through that listening, the information that's in this book was received. So over the period of about 3 years, I would channel, and then I would verbalize it and record it, and then I would type it out later. So I had this notebook full of notes from my channelings. Then I went to Peru with my husband, and we did a plant medicine diet called the tobacco diet, which is where you drink boiled tobacco, and it's about as delicious as it sounds. And under the care of a shaman, I was doing this diet. And the process of this diet really opens a lot up and clears out the aura. And so as I was doing this, on about day 4, I was downloaded with the full outline for this book and the intro. So I started writing out, we were born to be creators. Every particle in existence was made for this. And I started writing this in my journal, and then I was given the chapters that were going to go in the book as well. So this was an amazing process, because up until this point, writing was not something that is a strong suit for me. It's a very small book anyway. So writing was difficult for me. And I found that a lot synergized in that moment, and in moments following, what I recognized was about a year previous to this tobacco diet, where I received this book, essentially the chapter by chapter outline, I had had a vision where I'd seen myself speaking in front of a large group of people, and I was talking about being a true creator, that's what we're here for. I remembered that after I had written the outline to this book, after that had been downloaded into me. So everything really coincided and synergized. And so I feel like in a lot of ways I am a vessel for this message that I'm still learning. And so it's a real big gift for me to be able to do this work because I'm so passionate about it. And also because I learn every time I do it. So this book has been sort of a manual for me. It took me 2 years to write, even though the outline was given to me. I plugged in all of the channeling information. I found that the 3 years worth of channeling, it all coincided with the chapters in this book. And so I plugged it in. But it took me 2 years to write because I had to learn it as I was writing it, and I had to experience it as I was writing it. So in a way, this is sort of a book that takes us from point A to point B, if we can be linear like that, which we really can't. But it starts off with the concept of the Great Awakening and why we're going through this and what's happening and what has been happening. And then it brings us through shadow work and dramatic paradigms and the way that we've been living into what's possible and what I've experienced glimpses of, which I was shown is pure form consciousness. So that's kind of the book encapsulated. And what I'm going to do is I'll just read you the intro, and then we're going to do some fun exercises with this. And by the way, you guys are welcome to read along. I passed out the book in case anybody wants to read along. And then when we do some of the exercises, we'll also be reading into the book. Welcome home. We were born to be creators. Every particle that is in existence, I'm on page 1. Every particle that is in existence in this world is propelled towards this one aim. We create and destroy, create and destroy, and even destruction is a creative act, making and unmaking again and again. Our propulsion to create often gives way to dramatism. We are trained very early on in the socially acceptable avenues of creation and begin our personal process of recycling these limited uses of our creative powers. We learn to create from judgment, fear, and pain. We hurt ourselves and hurt each other, and yet this creative force propels us to act, and so we continue to create from that pain. We don't know that there is another way. The new way is dawning as the age of the true creator, where all of the creative force we inherently hold within finds action in a pure avenue. As we step into this new era, there are still many old pains which we have been handed down through millennia of learning, and which we have recreated and reinforced in our own lives. This pain must be sifted through and transmuted until all that remains is effortless beauty. We must pare ourselves back down into the true form that is held within us, the form that we were born into, to live in the manner that we were created for, and to bring forward the new together as one. We are moving forward into a great time in human history, one in which we all cooperate from our highest frequency and live connected on a much broader scale to the world at large and to every being on the planet. We are preparing for this next phase through the understanding and transmutation of our shadow, both personally and collectively. By maintaining our awareness of the higher planes during all this work, we are able to ascend, to raise up, to fulfill our personal callings, and to create from a completely new vista and perspective of oneness. From here, we each exist in pure form consciousness. Pure form consciousness is the existence of the self without the thoughts that make up the mind, and is a synergy of these three states: the body, which is in its pure ecstatic state; the mind, which is loving, gentle, calm, and kind; and the heart, which is open to receiving and giving of love in its divine essence. We are meant to take pleasure in our lives, to enjoy the multitudes of creative endeavors and the passions that are part of this human existence. We are also meant to learn a completely new, higher consciousness form of creating. Are you ready to bring in the new together? Come, let us evolve. All right. So the next part we're going to do is a little bit of a fun, intuitive practice that brings everyone into this speaking process with me. So let's see if I have enough cards. Go ahead and just choose one card that feels good and then pass it on. This isn't a test. If you don't want to participate, you're not required.
Pass it on to whom?
Oh, we'll just pass it on. There we go. The whole pile.
Pass it on.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Is there one left? That is weird.
Well, you get to participate.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, and this is perfect. This is something I'm working on. All right. So, who would like to start? You can just... The exercise here is that there's a prompt and then a page number, and we're just going to kind of delve into these concepts, and then we're going to talk about our experience with it and see if more can come up. It. Okay, perfect.
So, I wanted to start because, of course, the word is exactly what I've been dealing with.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah. So, what should I do? Should I?
You can. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. Should I talk about it or should I read about it?
You can go ahead and share whatever the prompt is, and then we'll read through that part in the book, and then we'll talk about it.
The word on the card, you guys, is shame.
Oh.
And I've just been working with contractions in my body that are partly a manifestation of conceptual contraction. Mm-hmm. So that's what I heard you talking about in your intro, that we can transcend. Mm-hmm. And I tell people that I think that shame is not real. We're just making it up. Mm-hmm. And but so manifesting that in one's life is
Yes, I like the way that you described that. And so what page number does
it's 107.
107. And it's just below that little star in the middle of the page. And if you want to read that until it feels like you're done reading.
Okay. Shame is the often unexpected feeling that can come up as we ascend and transition into greater awareness of who we truly are. It's a gateholder, in a way, as it seems to be one of the final barriers between the continued self-imprisonment of drama and the freedom of true creation. There are many reasons that feelings of shame come up as we ascend. Ecstatic joy is our natural state of being, but we regularly block these ecstatic feelings to immerse ourselves in the experience of being human. We believe in the pain and suffering of our physical and mental realities until the sadness or numbness is what becomes our new normal. Removing this block may cause confusion on all existential levels. If everything just is, then what do I do with my life? If all is perfect, exactly as it is, and if I never need to control or change anything, if I'm really aware of the game, what do I continue living for? Shame is a deeply embedded paradigm that serves our human experience. It's our ego's response to its own death, a natural defense against the death to our very identity. It can show up as feeling undeserving, feeling remorseful or unworthy for elevated levels of joy, or unworthy for elevated levels of joy that we begin to experience as we open our hearts. I had a little glitch there, so I think I should stop.
Okay, perfect. Does that open anything up for you?
In regard to synchronicity, I was eating dinner and I remembered a vision. It was a recurring dream when I was younger. I just remembered it a few minutes ago.
Mm.
And in the dream, I've always been fascinated by moths and light.
Mm.
And in the dream, I was watching this moth battering itself to death against this light that it kept being attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't thought of that in, 15 or 20 years, at least.
Mm.
But there is something about shame and the egoic response to its own death that resonates with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting parallel that you drew with the moth. It's a repetitive motion. And what was shown to me is that drama, as it's kind of defined in this book, for the purposes of the true creation that we're moving into, drama is recreation based on our mental paradigm. So a lot of times what we do is we bring shame in because we don't quite know how to let ourselves be free and how to feel accepting of our current life, of our previous, things that we've done in our life. Why are we deserving of such a great experience, of such great joy? Why are we deserving of expanded consciousness? And so we bring shame in and we kind of pull ourselves down. And drama is that repetition cycle. We're comfortable in those forms of bringing ourselves down. And so to move beyond that, the mind gets really confused. What do we do now? If I haven't ever done anything wrong, what do we do now? And so that can maybe set us free a bit to recognize that shame is our minds grasping at a moment and reliving it so that we can hold ourselves back. And of course, you know, no shame on the shame, like not to add layers to it. The shame is part of being human. One thing that I was shown is that our mind likes to recreate, because this is a time-based experience that we're having. And we want to recreate what's happened before because we want to relive it. We don't want to let it go. It's an amazing thing to have a time-based reality. So as our mind tries to recreate, we end up holding on to something that makes us maybe feel shameful or keeps us from moving forward into the unknown. So, yes.
That strikes me as that behavior, the repetitive drama, strikes me as perhaps being a behavior that's basically rooted in an insecurity about reality and needing to constantly recreate something to prove that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that sound?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll paraphrase it because I don't know if I can find it. I think it's in the last chapter. So I'll just kind of tell my story on this. You guys have heard of starseeds a little bit. So my perception of starseed, because it was a word that I, when I heard it, I was like, that is me. What is that? So starseed is someone who's incarnated. This is the first lifetime on Earth as a human. And what I was shown about that, as someone who is a starseed, is that I needed to experience pain because otherwise I wouldn't believe in this human experience. And so for so much of my life I've had intense health issues, and it was really devastating to me, and I had a lot of shame around it. Sometimes I still do. And but it was shown to me that without those high levels of pain, psychological, physical, I wouldn't believe in this human experience. I would be so joyful that I would essentially just float through it. So it really does bring us into the reality that we're experiencing, you know. So it is a beautiful thing. Just like you said, it's perfect. As in this human experience, we experience shame and pain and, you know, all of these different dualistic time-based feelings that we go through. Any thoughts or experiences?
What may be associated is the gentleman in front of me was saying with insecurity, but the beauty, if we go back to the word beauty, from that insecurity is it brought you into form.
Yes.
So you could appreciate this.
It did. It did. Yep. I believe in this life now. I'm here, you know. It took me a while to really feel like I was here. So, any other thoughts on that? Or would someone like to?
Now that you've kind of penetrated the understanding of why you had health issues and what it brought to you, do you feel like there's still need be a part of your existence, or is it still a part, or how do you deal with it now?
It's definitely much, much smaller than before. I have a huge level of acceptance. You know, for example, new things could come in, new pain. I could get sick in a different way, and I recognize that that's just part of the human experience, and I don't feel... For a long time, I did feel like I was doing something wrong, like I wasn't being spiritual enough when I would get sick. And if I could just be more spiritual, it would go away. Mm-hmm. And now I understand that it's just part of this beautiful flow of the human experience. I've also learned about true creation, and so I recognize that rather than getting stuck in a cycle, that I'm being pushed sort of out of my comfort zone into creating something new. And, you know, we can talk about true creation too. It's more of a vibratory experience. It's not, for example, if I've never been surfing, that could be a true creation experience. But even if I have been surfing 100 million times, if I come into that experience with a new vibration, it's a new experience. So that's true creation, to kind of summarize it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I no longer shame other people for their physical issues as well, which I think is a really big gift of having my own experience with it. I don't think anyone's not spiritual because they're going through something. In fact, that's very silly to me at this point, that I ever used to believe that way, but I did. So
I appreciate you bringing that up, because I've encountered a lot of people who do have that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when the law of attraction really started taking off, I noticed a lot of people believing.
What attraction?
The law of attraction.
Law.
You know, the secret mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. like that. When the law of attraction became very popular, a lot of people felt that they were manifesting their illness, and that if they could just be better, they wouldn't. But it's far more complex than that. We've got life purpose. We've got things that we're learning, you know. And when we collapse the duality around all of that, we no longer see a good experience and a bad experience. We see experience, which all of it is so rich to the soul.
Do you want to hear what Intergalactic Space Federation has to say to pain?
Sure.
Okay. Pain is an ungiven gift. Find a gift and give it.
Mm.
Pain is an unasked question. Find a question and ask it. Pain is just one face of power. Pain is just the plow to turn the soil of the soul. Pain is love's search for itself. In the search for what is never lost and only found, the drama of your heart unfolds. Regard your pain, accept its bane, become its flower, use its power.
That's really beautiful. Cheers to the Galactic Federation. Thank you for reading that. All right, who wants to go next? Everybody calm down. There will be a chance for everyone to go. Don't everyone jump up. Thanks for going first, by the way, Kim, and for sharing. Yes.
I'm Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. Oneness, Starseed and Earth Souls.
Hmm.
Page 52.
Perfect.
It actually looks like this starts at the bottom of page. Well, do you happen to know where the point you wanted to bring out starts on that page? Mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet, but.
I believe right there where it says there are two dominant perspectives.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. great. Thank you.
Yeah.
There are two dominant perspectives that people hold as we all move toward oneness frequencies. Those who are new to this incarnation process on Earth, and those who have lived many lifetimes here. For new souls to this planet, being empathic is very natural. Many come from planetary systems wherein there is already we consciousness, and the beings there are already functioning from a oneness reality. When these new souls come to Earth, the experience of being egoic and individualistic is a new and exciting experience, but it can also be very confusing and distracting, as these new souls are now part of the fabric of physicality and experiencing the suffering of the very real perception of pain that this separation brings. These newer souls, often called starseeds, aliens, indigos, and many other terms, are easily affected by the energy of others. This sensitivity can show up as a slight impressionability and susceptibility to what others experience and feel, or it can be taken to an extreme when a person cannot separate themselves from the experiences of others or the perceived suffering in the world about them. New souls or souls who have not lived other lifetimes on earth or within these lower frequencies are often deeply distracted by the illusion of suffering and come to believe that it is real, as we all do in these realms. It is a very new experience for them.
This is kind of a long read.
If you would like me to go on, I can. You know what's ahead.
Yes.
Sure, I don't mind. Star beings can lose their sense of self and others here on Earth because the density of the third dimension is so strong, and they are not used to the egoic projections that are part of the Earth plane. They may become mesmerized by the cult of personality and find themselves mimicking what others are showing them, both physically and energetically. It becomes a game of learning through experience, though it can be incredibly distracting to the point of devastation for one who is not firmly grounded in Earth, as the mind can spin out and lose all sense of self or personhood. New souls may believe very incongruent things about themselves when lacking the ability to know themselves here in earthly dimensions. From the other perspective, for those souls who are very familiar with the earth realms or who deeply identify with physical reality, awakening into oneness can be quite a shock as the previously perceived boundaries fade away. It can cause anger as a defense for feeling the pain of others or a need to protect one's personal space. Expanding in the realms of the heart may feel a bit like going insane as we relax our tight sense of personal selfhood and open to connection on deeper levels with others. Souls who are more familiar with the earth frequencies often have a challenging time with the mentality of new souls, crying for vast amounts of change without respect to the eons and lifetimes of work and progress that those earth souls have accomplished. This disrespect can cause resentment and resistance towards unification, or even a feeling of loneliness or rejection during the experience of awakening.
Just one more paragraph.
Okay. Both viewpoints can help each other if we can honor the other perspective, merging the starseed and earth-based truths. This comes from relaxing our egos and trusting the collective process of ascension to bring us into higher frequencies, regardless of our belief systems and soul histories.
So that was a lot.
Yeah, a lot of it spoke to me.
That's good.
Yeah.
What parts?
Internal contrast right from the beginning, because of a felt alliance with both positions, both the starseed position and the multiple incarnation here position, and recognizing that, I like the last part that I read, the last paragraph, relaxing the ego and trusting the process, whatever that process is, like it's a collective one. I think that's quite true. But without being concerned about frequencies or whatever. You know, when people ask me, what am I doing here? I say, I'm just trying to be real, whatever that is.
Right.
I'm still working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely the definitions are not meant to polarize or create more division or, you know, linear ideas. It's really just one thing that I was seeing a lot was a lot of people who were like, it's time to change and awaken, and like, everybody's been doing things wrong for this whole time. And then other people who were awakening who felt very upset and out of the loop, and don't you see the work that we've been doing, you know, and there hasn't been anything wrong with it. I brought you to this point. So I really put that in there for that, to show that this is in the chapter on oneness, I believe. Yes, oneness through harmonization. So it's really about allowing ourselves to have our individual perspective and to honor that, and also to honor the other perspectives that we're coming into, you know. Any thoughts on that? All right.
I just wanted to say that it feels balanced to me, because at times I've had maybe some form of envy towards people that, you know, maybe here for the, as you say, for the first time, who have this great natural empathy and desire to liberate themselves in many ways from the paradigm we've set up here. And I've kind of wondered, am I doing enough to grow, to ascend? And but this actually is more inclusive of seeing, of honoring each other, and seeing how it strengthens the whole.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm not even sure what group I would exactly am, because, you know, it might be hard for me to say, and others would say something based on their, you know, perceptions.
Right. It's definitely helpful to have your own knowing, if it's even important to you, but then to come to your own conclusions with it.
There's probably different varying degrees, because like maybe you've only been here one other time, and so it's still a bit of a shock.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of this was born from my connection with my husband, and we have a twin flame connection, so there was a lot of very opposing forces there. So this is my first lifetime as a human, and at one point during channeling I was told he's been here thousands of times. So we had a lot of, you know, actually a lot of this came from our own personal conflict, where he felt that it was disrespectful for people to be sort of in that, you know, and he felt really hurt by it. Particularly because even in this lifetime, you know, he was in the military, and just his life up to the point of awakening, a lot of people who are in the communities that call themselves spiritual communities exclude people like him. And so it was very much important for me to carry that message forward, that hold on, like, we're all doing fine, we're ascending, don't worry. And we're all included in it. There's no person that isn't, you know. So, yeah.
What's a twin flame connection?
That is, again, it's something that is defined in many, many different ways. I kind of want to pause and just feel what I need to share on that. Okay, so it is a journey. The way that it's often described, and I don't want to get too much into semantics or, you know, the details of it, but essentially one soul splits, but we don't have half souls because we have a quantum universe that we're living in. So it's one soul moves into two souls. Individual soul and soul, not like half soul and half soul, but they are the mirror image of one soul. So they bring a polarized perspective to each other, and if they incarnate and they're both human and they meet in a lifetime, the purpose of that union, from what I've been shown, is to bring both people into a place where they can be of service by pulling away the things that don't work through their union. So in order to unify, it has to be a heart-centered unification. Connecting with my husband I'd never felt my eighth chakra before, but it lit up. And we had about 3 weeks of blissful, doe-eyed looking at each other, and then, you know, lots of conflict after that. And the purpose of the conflict was really to pull away the parts of my ego and personality that didn't work, so that I could move into service. And same for him. So, yeah, I've got a tiny bit about it in the book, if you want to read about it. So, really just saying that all relationships are sacred, and twin flame is just one experience. So, all right. Does that sit well?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I never heard that term.
Oh, okay.
Until I read it, I think, in here.
Yeah.
In your dedication or introduction,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I dedicated it to my husband. So. All right. Who would like to go next? Would you?
Sure.
Okay. What's your name?
My name's Mary.
Mary. Okay, thanks.
And my card says, the existence of self without the mind. And what really comes to me is I've had a pretty faith-based life. I was very ill in my 20s, and my first marriage, I chose to leave to be able to keep on the journey. We were both very young, and I didn't want my first husband to have to be on this journey with me any longer, because we'd been on it together for many years, and I just felt like it was something I needed to keep on, but I didn't want to ask him to keep on it with me. And I felt like I needed, I mean, that could sound very unselfish, but the part that was for me in it was I needed to be able to feel like I could just totally focus without worrying if I was holding somebody else back.
Yeah.
And during that time, after that marriage broke up, I always knew I wanted to have children. Mm-hmm. And I had total faith somehow. It wasn't even that I was always saying this or thinking it, but I just really believed I would have children. Mm-hmm. And it was just really a wonderful faith. I didn't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I did get well. And I, you know, went back to school and developed a career and dated people and everything. I was in my late 20s at this point, and then I met my late husband, who passed away 2.5 years ago about. We, after our relationship, took a lot of work too. But after about 3 years, we got married, and 1 week later, we conceived our first child.
Wow.
And it's like it was just the most wonderful thing to me. But it's like I had such faith with that. That I just had, it was just such a beautiful faith that I would have children. And then 3 years later, we had a second daughter. At this point, and the reason I say all this is because I've spoken so much with, especially my younger daughter, about this, but also the older. And I'm in a time of life right now, too, where I have to make a lot of decisions, and they're very difficult for me. And a part of me believes I can make it all work, what I'm trying to work on. But I've said so many times, especially to Leanna, my younger girl, I've said, I just wish I could have the kind of faith I had in my 20s when I just knew I would have children. Mm. You know, I mean, that kind of, where it wasn't even a struggle. You know, I wish I could believe that would happen this time. Mm-hmm. You know, that I could just rest assured that I could do this. And it's kind of been a real struggle. And because I said to her and to myself, I said, why can't my mind just go away from it and allow me to just, or considerations or anything, just go away from it and allow me just to do. I mean, what I did in those years of my life was I just did everything I knew I needed to do for my life, and I just didn't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish now that I am trying to do everything I need to for my life, but I wish that my mind would go away from it and just let me function doing everything I need to for my life and just totally trust
mm-hmm.
that we'll all come out okay.
Mm.
And that, I mean, I think I kind of saw that the second I saw this, that was what it was talking about. But somehow, as people have spoken and it's the minutes have progressed, I feel that more.
That's great.
Is what that's addressing for me.
That's perfect.
Because it's been something I've really, very verbally and consciously been dealing with. I just want to let go and live and do what I need to and believe it will all come out.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of faith I had, you know, 40 years ago
mm-hmm.
in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is page 77.
Awesome.
And, let's see, where does it start on the page? The first words are the existence of the self.
So, pure form consciousness is the bold part.
Okay. Pure form consciousness is the existence of the self without the thoughts that make up the mind. One of the core aspects of pure form consciousness is that we begin to experience ourself without the thoughts that make up the mind. Through observing, feeling, and sensing the expanded essence of who we are. We open ourselves to the energies that run through all of life, all that is. This is beyond our egoic personality, and therefore is a glimpse of our nature outside of the realms of duality. A mental clarity beyond time, where we often feel as though we are floating in pure joy and pure love, wanting and grasping at nothing. Here we are free to experience what is without our dualistic mental projections and connect with our true energetic existence on multidimensional levels, simply because our mind is quiet enough for us to experience it, to be it. These moments of being raise our energetic frequency, and we continue to expand as we learn to let go more consistently. This is truly a game changer. Can we even conceive of what our experience could be without our mind regulating it? Through the practice of stillness and presence, letting go of our mental ideas of control, and moving into the heart center and allowing it to lead us, we uncover this new reality. Coming into the condition of being is not a linear process, and so we must have patience. Being aware of too much at once causes friction with the seen and unseen world, which can make our lives difficult in many ways. To see all that is in an instant would short-circuit us, and cause our minds to close off to further understanding and growth. Bringing ourselves to this gentle clarity is a part of the cleansing process of our life paths and needs our patience to unfold. Trust that we are each being made more aware as time goes on.
Hope that helped.
Yeah, it did. This is the last sentence.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
So I noticed, through the practice of stillness and presence, and then there's somewhere in this passage where it talks about the quiet of the mind.
Mm.
I can't find it right now. Do you have like a meditative practice, like a specific meditative practice to bring about that quieting and that stillness?
You know what? I love meditation. And so I kind of want to talk about a meditation that I just discovered for myself. So my regular practice is irregular, but it is pretty consistently daily. So so I'd like to wake up or go to sleep and say that I'm, you know, punctuated by meditation in that way, but really I just love meditation, so I take the opportunity whenever I get a chance. And something that I discovered the other day, I was so my whole tour, I'm staying with friends and people that I've never met. You know, right now I'm staying with a friend's parents. Up in Portland, I was staying with my old roommate in college, and she has two kids, and she's living with a woman with one kid. They have a dog and two cats and a roommate. So this was a full house, and every night I slept in a different bed depending on what was happening, because there was a lot happening. So I had this moment where I was meditating outside, and then people came outside to smoke, and so I was like, totally good. This is, you know, I call it ninja training. When things get really difficult, I'm like, I'm ninja training. So I was meditating, and I would hear noises outside of me, and what I would do is I would then look into my body and notice where I was tensing up because of that noise, and then I would consciously relax that place. And I found that to be really, really a beneficial. Awesome. It felt so good. So if I could pass that along. And my general meditation is just, I do a couple different things. One is that I just pay attention to the breath, and then I start to feel a ton of love. It's self-love. It feels really, really good. And then the other practice that I have is I just listen to everything around me until it sort of becomes one sound. So those are my two go-to practices.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for asking. What about you?
I meditate daily, mm-hmm. and my primary practice is to, I guess you'd call it acceptance, that mm-hmm. whatever is appearing, I allow it to appear.
I like that.
And whatever is disappearing, I allow it to disappear. Mm-hmm. So, and that's true both externally and internally. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds very simple, but
it's
when,
so
you,
good
when you
though.
First started, yeah, that's been my steady practice for quite a long time. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I love meditation. So, if anyone here is anybody feeling like they want to start meditating, but they, it's kind of like that big, I don't know if I can. Anyway, I don't want to. If you guys already have a meditation practice, awesome. But if you don't and you're kind of worried about it, it is so good when you get into it. It feels so good. So try it out.
Yeah, to a starseed.
Oh, trust me, I'm so wiggly. Took me a long time. I'm all, everything's easy for me. Oh, no, not at all.
using the sign for pause, mm-hmm. I've learned that you can move into the conceptual brain and out of it.
I've recently gotten into mudras a lot, so thank you. This is
That's
great.
The pause.
Hit that pause button.
And it helps to protect the language from becoming linear.
A little bit of a...
Because our language very much determines, designs our sense of time.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that you said in there, it was an accidental misread, but I thought it was so perfect. Mm. You said circus. Instead of short circuit, you said short circus us.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the mental realm is a little bit of a circus. So I thought that was perfect. So yeah, that's perfectly related. All right.
Well,
yes.
We talked about self-love, and since my prompt is self-love and divine love,
Yes, I'd love that. Please.
It's page 41.
And what's your name?
I'm Kaylee.
Kaylee.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Kaylee. 41?
41. And I'll... I think I'm beginning at the right place. It is fitting?
Yep.
It is fitting here that we again talk about self-love. For in a sense, self-love, love for others, divine love, and presence are all the same thing. In experiencing one state of being, we are in the understanding of the experience of all these other states. Knowing this can help us to understanding self-love, as our love for ourselves can be measured through the depth of the love we allow ourselves to gift to others, and our love for and acceptance of others equals love for self. Truly they are one in the same, for love on a divine level feels no separation and recognizes that we are all one. Often others will come into our lives to help us gain a deeper awareness of our self-love, to allow ourselves to see if we can be fully loving and accepting towards them. This can prove to be a beautiful opportunity to go deeper with our experience of divine love. If anything comes up that stands in our way of fully accepting another, it shows us that there is something within ourselves that needs to be more fully accepted, and we can embrace and heal that corresponding piece within ourselves. If we are deficient on either side of the spectrum, self-love or love for others, we can expand in the realms of the heart by developing and deepening that particular aspect of love. It's already been pretty rich. I can read one more paragraph if you want.
Sure, wherever you want to stop.
Okay.
The whole chapter is about love, so.
Okay. There's a lot. Well, this is kind of speaking to me because I had, you know, I work at work. I have a boss, and I, you know, generally we are friends, and I sort of sense there's some sort of karmic relationship there. And but I've been going through this period of complaining about some of his behaviors and actions that they are disturbing to me, but and I haven't been able to have a very good conversation with him about it. And so this is helpful in saying, you know, look within and see, you know, what I complain about in myself and love that more deeply. And then just the other day I took a training, and there's one other person in the room that was being trained also, and I was like, you know, I think everybody in this room would make a pretty good, we were trained to be trainers in this certain thing, I think everybody in this room would be pretty good as a trainer, except I don't know about that one person. And guess who I got to work? I get to work with for 8 weeks. I had to laugh a little. So, anyway, I just know the universe is working on me.
Yeah. I love that when we ask to learn, you know, self-love, we learn about things like patience, and we get frustrating experiences and things like that. It's really kind of a divine comedy, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So, thank you. That spoke to me.
That's great. That's perfect. Anybody else? Well, let's just jump to the next one. Let's see. We have three people who haven't gone yet. Four, I'm sorry. There it is.
The ecstatic body.
I love this part.
Page 82.
Right below the star. Did you want to read that part?
If you like. Me too.
Yes.
Okay. these bodies that we inhabit serve a unique and beautiful purpose in the co-creation of the new, in that they are a multi-dimensional bridge linking the heavenly and physical realities, existing in all states at once. The realms of heaven and earth are tangibly connecting to each other through the body temple, with heaven descending and earth ascending, anchoring higher frequencies of light into our multidimensional beingness, as that happened through our bodies and consciousness, heaven on earth is realized on earth as it is in heaven. Currently in the world, there is a call to become more acquainted with our physical form and all its manifestations. As we awaken in consciousness, our physical bodies are also being called to higher frequencies, which can be very confusing, as they are by nature formed within and inherently connected to the physical realm. In this evolution, the body is choosing to fulfill its calling to and gaining a new awareness through transcending these denser dimensions. In the new, we acknowledge our body as inclusive of the energetic body, that surrounds our physical bodies, and not just the physical manifestation of form. Our biofield, also called our aura, is the mass of light energy particles surrounding each of us. Our biofields bring us the awareness of subtle changes in our environments, such as air temperature fluctuations and incoming particulates from other biomasses surrounding us that may be overlaying themselves or entering our field. They assist us in becoming more whole and capable of receiving energetic upgrades. And thus, just like our physical bodies need our care and cleansing, the integrated energy of both our physical and energy bodies is our light body form.
So just the one more paragraph there.
Okay, our physical bodies are sensory organs all their own, and so it is important to bring our kinesthetic senses into a heightened awareness of our incredible material world. We are being asked to interact with life on a level that we perhaps haven't before developing a greater knowledge of these realms by physically manifesting and joyfully creating without limitations.
So this is a very extensive part in the book, but I feel we can stop there. What did that bring to you? If you want, I can talk on it.
Well, it's about the interrelation of the
talk a little bit?
Of the energetic body that we identify as the self. Mm-hmm. With the internal environment and the external environment.
Mm-hmm.
About interrelationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would call the conversation.
Mm. I like the conversation.
That is always going on.
Mm-hmm.
I like saying that each particle of creation holds the full attention of the whole of creation, or else the particle couldn't exist and the whole couldn't exist. So there is this incredible conversation going on between the particle and the whole all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's all about conversation.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And I was curious because you drew the card, so I wanted to know how it spoke to you specifically. And so I think that's perfect.
Well, I'm all about what I call the spirituality of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anybody else want to talk on that part?
I appreciate your focus here, because to me the first fact of our existence is we wake up in a physical body.
Yes.
So it's sort of like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not in the place where I may have been before, or
right.
maybe in the future. I may be able to make things happen just by creating
yes.
them in my mind. I have to do some effort here.
Yes.
No, this is the nature of this place,
mm-hmm.
so get used to it.
Exactly. I think that, especially with the part that you read, there is, by the way, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Michael.
Okay, thank you. With that particular part, you know, there has been and still is a separation of body and spirituality. And what I've been shown, and this is an aspect of pure form consciousness, which is a concept that was shown to me and that I've experienced multiple times, the body in its ecstatic state, and it is so incredibly intense. And it feels like, you know, in the Bible where they say he was on fire with God or something like that, I understand that. Because it's like fire without heat. It's radiant. It's very, very strong. And it's actually very sexual. And so through this channeling process that I've been a part of in the past year, I started receiving information specifically on our sexuality. And it was surprising to me. What's been shown to me is that our bodies have a huge part in the ascension process. And that actually our sexuality, awakening that aspect of ourselves, is also a very large part in us moving into the ascended states of being within our bodies. And when I say sexuality, it doesn't mean to include anyone other than ourselves, but anyone who's felt this particular, you could call it sort of kundalini energy. It's a very, the ecstatic body is just that, and it feels highly sexual. And it's just incredible, you know? So that's the beginning of that in the book. So just to briefly touch on that, but it's a pretty incredible thing to have our bodies ascend in this process, and what occurs within the body, the levels of joy and ecstasy that we're going to be learning to carry, you know? And I say learning to carry because it is so overwhelming that sometimes it's actually hard to hold, to feel that. It's a very overwhelming feeling.
Is that related to the passage, incoming particulates from other biomasses surrounding us? Because I don't understand that passage without reference to what you just said.
You know, there's the rest of that part of the book. And if you want to say it in that very unsexy term, yes.
Okay. I was otherwise, I didn't really grasp what that was about.
I think maybe if you continue reading, it might make more sense. What's interesting is, as I was reading that, I kind of laughed to myself because that's almost directly verbatim what I channeled. And when I heard it that way, I thought, what am I receiving? It sounds like scientific data. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on what energy I'm connecting with when I channel, but it did come through as biomass and energetic particulates and all of these things. So essentially, I think the concept that was being conveyed to me at the time was that our aura is a literal physical thing. It's a biomass. And sometimes the overlap is actual particulates from other fields. Yeah. So that was almost verbatim what I received. And sometimes I'm like, who am I speaking with right now? What kind of nerdy information am I getting? So
I thought it was olfactory. That's the way I took it.
Olfactory? That's a really good way to look at our perception of energy. We smell it, we feel it. Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed is through the awakening process, have you all heard of the term synesthetic? Synesthesia?
Yeah.
I forget what that is.
It's where the senses blend. Mm. And one thing that I've noticed is as we develop these ultra-sensory perceptions, they do blend. We taste another person's aura, or we smell a particular
color.
Feeling or a color. Yeah. So these, it does blend. It's really interesting.
I can't see what you're saying.
But I'm on that note, let's move on. And I know we're running short on time, so
I'm actually going to have to flip it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
I really enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks for coming. Bye.
Bye, Susan.
Bye, Susan.
Yeah, we should maybe start.
Let's just go ahead and wrap it up. Okay.
Yeah.
So to close, I'm going to read the last little part of the book. Page 117. We are capable of so much more than we have ever dreamed of. In mastery, we join with our higher self and become the conscious, physical manifester of this higher awareness, the embodiment of our higher self aspect. And as we begin our conscious choosing, we enter our godlike phase. This is important for us to be aware of. In this phase, we are asked not only to be of the higher planes, but also to be made aware that in our choosing, we are receiving more than we could ever ask for. We are receiving the godlike qualities that are imbued in our system, in our chakras, in our human Merkaba, our energetic system. Through each conscious choice, our energy field opens further to allow our superhuman qualities, those quantum abilities that lie dormant when we are unconscious, to rise to the surface of our awareness. Many are receiving great gifts in their lives because their choices are of the higher frequency realms. Mastery is calling to each of us, and we must take it up to understand its gifts and see it through all the way to the end. I'm not going to read the rest. So thanks for being with me here today, you guys. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I will turn it back over to Rob for announcement.
All right. Well, first, thank you on behalf of Many Rivers.
Thank you.
And please, let's all express that appreciation. The basic idea is here. You have books in your hand. If you're interested in purchasing them, Jim or I will help at the counter. We also have a donation bowl over here. We encourage you to contribute to it, and half of what we receive, we share with our speakers to further their work. no doubt gas money will be appreciated.
Yes. I go through that fast.
Among other things. So, and thank you all so much for coming tonight.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to seeing you at further such events as they happen. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just to let you guys know, I have an email sign-up sheet here. If you would like to sign up, I do offer a free 30-minute intuitive session. And I'll just be scheduling with those with you guys once I hit the road again. So.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want your cards back?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Excuse me. Thank you.
You don't have to rewrite them.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Excuse me.
How much is your book, Allison?
It's $15.95.
Did you say what energy you're channeling, where it's coming from? Do you know?
You know, I get that a lot, and I need to start saying that right up front. Oftentimes I just tap into sort of my higher aspects, and then at times I can connect with specific energies or specific beings. So when I do that, what comes through often is the Council of 12 or my Andromedan family and Andromedan Council.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
So you are an extra dimensional.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's come into form for the first time here.
Yeah.
That's a star seed.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I'll write my name down.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to speak with you.
Thank you for your vision and passion and presence.
Well, thank you.
Very, very beautiful.
Thank you for sharing with me.
Yeah, thank you.
We definitely want to sign your email.
Okay, sounds good.
I really felt like it's really important for me to come tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd love to have a consultation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's my hands.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead. I can go pay or get my donation ready.
Either way.
Yeah, I'm in no rush.
Appreciate your share.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm a pretty private person, and normally I don't say much, but it just, I felt I really appreciate your
vision. But you're creating it in
a couple years ago, and it involves two properties that I just love so much. And both here, I was very proud to grow up with basketball.
I love it.
So one of them is the one I grew up in, and the other one is the property, the house, the land that my husband and I found with our oldest daughter when she was 17, and actually gave birth to our second daughter.
Wow.
And they are apples and oranges. The one in town is, I'm so blessed, it's a 1909 Craftsman up on the hill. You know, with all the pleasures of walking in town and a good, great neighborhood. The one in outside of Grayton is
they have this way of explaining the tension, as they say, that karma. is,
you know, I mean,
material particles covering the soul.
Or real estate.
Yeah.
Or
ascension is burning off those particles.
Black and white.
So the
world,
soul
a miracle
is then not.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's when we found that place.
It's
a miracle.
And you can ask
as a true
yourself.
Self.
It's
a small tradition, but it's very ancient. You know, like it's
I love
this. Extremely ancient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when he read that, I was going,
I wonder if
part
I was
of
the,
I'm one of the few people who's actually
yeah.
studied
they
this.
Both,
you know,
yeah.
like this tradition.
Real
you know,
different.
I was going, that's the kind of thing they would say.
Which are different.
You know, would,
so it's not, I mean, like
I've
always
said, it's
master.
I wanted to offer that to you because
but
that,
it's like opposite.
That
I mean,
way
not
of
opposite
explaining
quite, but very complementary.
Ascension
they complement each other.
Which
so
one do you
not
think?
Common at all.
Okay.
You know, basically, I haven't heard about it.
I've been living for
the
past many years in the one in town because when my husband had a heart attack.
If you step into it,
well, for one thing, our well had gone bad.
You know, and you don't.
And he wasn't
as an explanation
that he capacity, but we felt.
I found it to be actually helpful.
I felt we felt.
You know, like to look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, without like committing myself.
Yeah,
you know,
it
yes.
really
well.
And
I do. It's sometimes it just helps to take down the barriers and say,
right.
Oh, that's a really new perspective.
Right, that's a new perspective. That's a different way of looking at it. But they are the Indian tradition, which has been the most consistent. Because in order to burn off the particles, you have to practice ahimsa. That's the chief means for burning off. That's the connection. The more ahimsa you practice, the less your soul is
Large circular dome, house, greenhouse. Weather resistant village. Each one of these things is one of those. Circles is a cluster. Cluster is many complex. And this is the village.
Thank you.
The name Weatherweed comes from Weavy Web.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing here. It's between the earth, the village, and the earth.
Wow.
Where the circle of the village is the wedding ring we wear.
Mm.
And the circle of life.
Carl, I think so. If you want to.
I love that.
Yes.
I'll continue with this task of you.
Here.
Thank you.
It was published in 91. And I didn't have the hand signs there. So my relationship with words has changed rapidly. This points very clearly to where I was moving.
I got this plate about.
I understand that. I can already feel shifting from what I wrote in there as I expand.
Oh, I didn't make it. Doesn't
expand.
Uh-huh.
It happens.
Yeah.
I knew
it
was going to. I was like, why am I writing this down? It's so permanent.
Well, maybe I'm
losing
myself.
Yeah. It's prophecy. It's who you're becoming is.
Well, I
kind of
stay up late anyway.
Yeah.
It's in the process of finding
kind of my
driving the path.
The rest of the day, I'm doing
some
work. That's the time when I get to read and watch something on, you know.
I appreciate
but it is
No, I think I'm good.
I did stay long now.
And
in any event,
tested it today. It was so liberating tonight. Because it has to do with the childhood wound that we all
have. So much has been coming up about the inner child. Everywhere I look, people talk about the inner child.
It has to do with the way language is And this, did you know that children can learn over 100 hand signs before they say their first word? So this is about getting that back and forth and going before words are introduced.
Well, it's not that I don't experience that.
Because when words become the ground of that back and forth, and we lose a part of ourselves. And we have to regain that.
Not soon,
That's the conversation. And the hand signs.
For 15 years, basically, maybe a little bit more. And I never drank coffee. I stopped drinking Coke.
It's funny how as soon as I do this,
it feels
so
good.
In my 20s, 30s,
this
40s,
breath,
it wasn't.
Breath, it's like always the same
not.
Breath.
So I actually didn't have any
spontaneous
at all until I basically turned around 50. Just before that, Stuart started eating himself.
That's the thing about it.
It
means the space is yours. You put my attention.
Okay.
Decided I would go into it.
So.
I'm not gonna go along with that necessarily, but
it's an activation.
I moved this thing, and then we can start moving to the music.
I think the recorder was still on.
Play with it, see if it feels like something to you.
I like that word a lot.